Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. This is Casey Luskin with the Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. This is segment 5 of 6 with Dr. Lyle Jensen, who is an esteemed X-ray crystallographer who worked in the Department of Biochemistry and Biological Structure at the University of Washington for many years. He's an elected fellow of the American Association for the Advancement of Science and the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. An award-winning crystallographer from the American Crystallographic Association, wrote the foundational textbook for the field. He is recognized as one of the first, or if not the first, to really elucidate the structure of large proteins using X-ray crystallography. Up to this point, for the first 4 segments, we've really been talking about Dr. Jensen's career, how he started off as a scientist, how he worked on the Manhattan Project, the accomplishments in his career. I want to shift gears now. We have Dr. Jensen here with us today. And one of the most interesting things about Dr. Jensen is that he has always been, throughout his career, a scientific skeptic of Darwinian evolution. Is that not correct, Dr. Jensen?
That is correct.
First off, just basics. Now, obviously, you spent your career looking at biological molecules, biochemistry. So in your experience, how does intelligent design better explain the data?
Well, when I just look at the order that there is in structures and what we have gone through just from the crystallography and all that you get in highly ordered structures, and when you realize what the DNA is and the order that there is there and the information.
Yes.
In fact, Dawkins has made a statement at one time, and there is more information in the human genome than in all of, I think it was 34 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Wow.
And so then he writes a book, Climbing Mount Impossible, and that's a bunch of just so ideas, and that doesn't get you any place.
In your estimation, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but intelligence is the source of order. And you obviously spent your life studying the order of biological molecules, so you don't see a process like Darwinian evolution as producing that type of order.
No, and then fossils, I think, are some of the most powerful evidences.
Okay.
The best fossils in the world have been discovered in South China, and that's Cambrian layer. And by 1999, they organized an international meeting for paleontologists who were interested. And it was a relatively small meeting as far as numbers were concerned. It was about 60 paleontologists, but from countries all over the world who'd heard about these fossils and wanted to see them. And by that time, the main Chinese one, he and his group excavated and classified about 10,000 different fossils. And what they find was, in his interpretation, is totally un-Darwinian. It's in the lowest levels that they find fossils. When they find them there, whatever phyla they belong in, and they're completely formed. As if they have this heart or eyes completely formed. And above that, in fact, I think of the something like 39 or 40 different phyla. And the different phyla, that's the classification of the different animals. Fossils from all but one of them occur in the very lowest level.
Wow.
And the next one occurs in the level just above that.
Yes.
And the interpretation is totally un-Darwinian, as every one of these that they find is complete, nothing leading up to it. And unless it's something that is synced, then in any higher levels, it's just the same.
Yeah.
There have been no changes. There's been... It's totally against evolution. Incidentally, Stephen Jay Gould, he knew that the fossils didn't support Darwinian evolution. And so he and one of his colleagues postulated punctuated equilibrium. Well, that's just a fancy term. It wasn't long after until I began to read back in the 70s, jerky evolution. That evolution goes, then it goes jerky evolution. Punctuated equilibrium is a fancy name for something that is just a way to get around the facts. The reporter who reported this 1999 meeting went around and asked various scientists who were there, what do you think about this, that what they were seeing as far as these fossils were concerned. And as a matter of fact, there was one from Caltech, I think it was. He was internationally known. And this reporter said, what do you think about these fossils that you were seeing in the Darwinian explanation? And this scientist said, just to the reporter, neo-Darwinism Buddhism is dead. Like Stephen Jay Gould, they still believe that we got here by an evolutionary process, and yet the fossil record doesn't support it at all.
Yeah. Let me actually move from Gould to one of Gould's colleagues at Harvard, because I understand that one of your favorite admissions, you might say, from an evolutionary biologist comes from Gould's Harvard colleague. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, this quote, I think, gives a good admission, and the statement is from Richard Lewontin, and he's a geneticist, but he's also a leading promoter of evolution. He makes this statement: we take the side of science in spite of the patent absurdity of some of its constructs, in spite of its failure to fulfill many of its extravagant promises of health and life, in spite of the tolerance of the scientific community for unsubstantiated just-so stories, because we have a prior commitment, a commitment to materialism. It is not that the methods and institutions of science somehow compel us to accept a material explanation of the phenomenal world, but on the contrary, that we are forced by our a priori adherence to material causes to create an apparatus of investigation and a set of concepts that produce material explanations, no matter how counterintuitive, no matter how mystifying to the uninitiated. Moreover, that materialism is an absolute, for we cannot allow a divine foot in the door. And that, I think, is a real admission to what is going on and summarizes the views of materialists.
I mean, you spent your career really trying to convince many of your colleagues that X-ray crystallography was a viable field for doing science. You did not have the luxury of being able to say, well, I'm just assuming that this is the right explanation, or I'm just assuming this is going to work. You really had to prove this. And it wasn't until you showed the data that they actually believed you.
Yes.
So when you read quotes like that, what does that make you think about the state of evolutionary biology?
It makes me think that the students, they get so exposed that they think we really got here by this process of Darwinian evolution. But when you come down to the evidence, I don't see how you can believe. It's what a lot of people do. Apparently, they don't think deeply enough about what is going on.
Well, let me ask you this question, because obviously you spent your career studying the complexity of biology.
Yeah.
And when you started off, they were just learning about the structure of very small biological molecules.
Yes, that's right.
Now we're learning about the complex structure of protein machines.
Yes.
Over your career, have you seen the evidence for design in biology? Probably this is a rhetorical question, but how have you seen it change? How has it grown in your view?
When you see some of these people like Michael Behe, and that's irreducible complexity.
Yes.
I think it was after he had his advanced degree, and I think it was when he took a position at the National Institutes of Health for a couple of years, which people often do. Mm-hmm. And the more he thought about what was going on in life at that point, he saw that it's inconsistent with evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he saw was complex things that are happening in life processes. One of the things that that illustrates his irreducible complexity is the clotting of blood.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the clotting of blood, as one of my colleagues here in the biochem department for many years before I retired, I remember he was working on this area, and you see a blood clot forms. There's, if you get a cut or something like that, it's initiated, and then that gives another structure, and then there's all combination. By and large, there's something like 19 or 20 different structures before you get a clot.
Mm-hmm.
And if any one of those fails, the clot doesn't form, and the animal would bleed to death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's what Behe means by irreducible complexity.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a simple case of a mousetrap to illustrate it.
Sure.
But there are many processes in animal bodies which, if one part fails, there's either a medical problem or worse that follows, like the clotting of blood that would be bleeding to death if it didn't work.
In your experience as a scientist, when you were practicing and doing experimental research, how did your colleagues feel about Darwinian evolution?
I think in particularly a couple of my colleagues, when they knew where I stood on it, they were very interested because they felt similarly.
Is that right?
But that's not most of them. As most of them, they would talk about this or that. And at that time, I didn't counter them as such. I thought, well, I'm here to do my research. And mm-hmm. if you want to believe it, believe it. But it's not necessary as far as science is concerned.
Hmm. One question that I often wonder is, we are told by the Darwinists today
yes.
that Darwinism is like a magic bullet. It's the foundation of biology. It can explain everything. You can just pull Darwinism out of a hat and it helps you with everything you're doing in science.
Okay.
In your experience, how important was Darwinism on a practical day-to-day basis to the type of research that you and your colleagues were doing? Was it really that important, or maybe it was important?
So far as I'm concerned, my big concern about Darwinian evolution is that if it's preventing in certain areas advances that should be made, because they're doing what's called circular reasoning. They believe evolution, so if they can do experiments and explain it by evolution, they explain it by evolution. Then they will get it published, and then other people will believe it because they say, oh, they have shown it. Then other people believe it, and you just go round and round and
round. Wow.
And it really prevents the advances that should be made in science, and that's my concern.
For instance, the Lewontin quote that you read, they have this starting assumption.
Yes.
That you can only allow certain material causes.
Yes,
and
yes.
It flows from there. Is that basically what you're saying?
Well, if you do this round and round, this circular reasoning, mm-hmm. you're not coming to any conclusions that are true. And so there's let the truth prevail. You can believe what you want to believe, but think about it. Is it really valid? I've used the term, they get brainwashed. They fail to think about what is the evidence. And I think that they need to seriously consider that evolution, what it has done to the field and what it is doing to the field. And so if people want to believe it, okay. But when it's causing difficulty in the field and preventing progress in the field and promoting this circular reasoning, I think it's serious.
Well, Dr. Jensen, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. I've been hearing a lot about your career, and it's great to now know more about your views. As a senior scientist who has seen the scientific community deal with this issue of Darwinian evolution for many years. So thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
This is Casey Luskin with the ID of the Future podcast, signing off. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID of the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com. And check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.